అఖండమండలాకారం వ్యాప్తం యేన చరాచరం యత్ పదం దర్శితం యేన శ్రీగురవే నమః. సో వి ఆర్ రీడింగ్ సోల్ అండ్ ఇట్స్ మెకానిజం బై ఏలిస్ ఏ డేవి. చాప్టర్ 1, ద ప్రాబ్లమ్ ఆఫ్ సైకాలజీ, ఇంట్రొడక్షన్. Three desires prompt the writing of this book. The desire to bring together the materialistic or external psychology and its introspective or internal psychology, and secondly, looking past scientific psychology to the larger realm of race thought and race psychology, the desire to harmonize the materialistic West and the introspective East, and finally to show that all these conflicting aspects are but the facets of the one truth, and that together they constitute the one reality. Simply, what he wants to tell is that there is materialism and there is spiritualism. What is required is an understanding of both materialism and spiritualism, and learning that they are a part of the one truth. That materialism is also a part of the truth, spiritualism is also a part of the truth. These desires grow out of the present position of psychological teaching in the world. There are today two dominant types of psychology, and Will Durant in The Mansions of Philosophy has well summarized them as follows. The present psychology and what is being taught in it is being summarized. There are, as we have seen, two ways of studying man. One begins outside with the environment and considers man as a mechanism of adjustment. It reduces thought to things and mind to matter. And issues in the disguising materialism of Spencer and the behaviorism of Watson. The other way begins with, it looks upon man as a system of needs, impulses and desires, impelling him to study, to use and to master his environment. It would love to reduce things to thought and matter to mind. It starts with the entelechy of Aristotle, who held that an inner purpose determines every form, and issues in the vitalism of Bergson and the pragmatism of William James. Whatever he says, the gist is that there are two types of looking at the world. One is from the environment aspect, and the other is from the subjective aspect. So those who think from outside say that man is determined by the environment. The environment controls the man. And the other people say it is the man who controls the environment. Dr. W. B. Pillsbury believes this twofold system involves a needless duplication. If the behavioristic theory is retained, it means that we must have two psychologies, an external and an internal, a psychology viewed from the outside and one viewed from the inside. This seems at the best an unnecessary complication. So very clearly when you say, when you are looking from outside, it means there is an inside. And if you say there is an inside, there is an outside. But what does it mean? It means that inside and outside are part of one unity. So there is no need for East having its own psychology and West having its own psychology. What is required is to bring the unity between these two thoughts. The environment and the man who may be a product of the environment or who may change and control the environment. If you believe in the environmentalist, man cannot be changed. The environment changes the man. If you believe in man, it is the man who changes the environment. But the truth is, both interact. The environment has an effect on man, and the man has an effect on environment. Recognizing this duplex situation and agreeing with Pillsbury that two lines of interpretations are unnecessary, I am convinced of the possibility of fusing the two into a third, a single unit. Clear? Both can be merged into one, that is the third. External, internal, and a merger. I seek therefore to present an hypothesis to prove the correctness of the mechanistic school and the equally correct position of the school of introspectionists. And I seek also to show that both schools are necessary to account for all the facts and that each is really complementary to the other. Thus we may establish a third or a composite school based upon the exact knowledge of the Occident and the introspective wisdom of the Orient. So what we have to do is, we have to study the materialistic exact science which deals with the external aspects. The Occident, the Western knowledge, and we will have to read also the Oriental, the Eastern knowledge, and then what we will have to do? We will have to correlate them. In considering these two schools of psychology, it is evident that modern psychology is largely materialistic and the most popular school entirely so. The present day, the materialistic psychology is most popular. A study of the latest books on psychology emanating from the many and the various schools in Europe and America shows that the majority are primarily concerned with endorsing or rejecting the mechanistic philosophy of behavioristic schools. If they are not thus occupied, they are presenting another form of a materialistic psychology. Dr. Wolfgang Kohler in Gestalt Psychology says, "It is the layman's belief that in general he himself directly sees why at one time he has one attitude and later on another, also that for the most part he knows and understands directly why he is inclined to do one thing in a certain particular situation and why a definitely different thing under subsequent different conditions. In his view then, he is experiencing directly and truly much of the dynamical context, the development of which constitutes the mental life. Opposed to this belief and altogether foreign to it, we have the view of the most learned psychologists at the present time. From their viewpoint, one is inclined to do one thing now and then another because, in the first instance, certain nerve paths are most available, and in the second instance, certain other paths are most open. Fortunate those people in whom the most permeable nerve path in practice are usually the right and the appropriate ones." And now the trouble comes. The modern psychologists are approaching life in an altogether different way, not in a materialistic way. Generally, a man thinks that he knows why he is behaving like this in one situation. And in another situation, you are behaving in another way. And then also you think you are behaving like this because you know what you are doing. Is it very clear? But the Gestalt psychology says that it is not you who are determining your action, but it is the nerve impulse that is carried to the brain. In one particular instant, a particular path is easily available, you react like that. In another instant, another nerve path is easily available. The impulse goes through that nerve impulse, you behave like that. So what does it say? When you are always right, it only means that you are lucky that that particular narrow path which is right is open to you. If on that time, if it is not open, that nerve path, what is I mean by the nerve path? The Gyanendriyas,
record in the brain. The karmendriyas react. So this is the nerve path. When the Gyanendriya gives an input, the output may be in many different types, depending upon the nerve path that is being considered. One man gives you a fruit. He is a friend. He accepts it. But in railway station, what do they say? If anybody offers a fruit, don't take it. Why? Because it may be dangerous. So, external eye is giving you an information that you are being offered a fruit. Whether you accept it or reject it depends upon the nerve path it is taking. So, after all, your reactions are nothing but the reactions of the nerves. And you say, I am angry, I am unhappy, I am disgusted. You are not unhappy, you are not disgusted, nothing. The nerve path is disgusted. So that is the change that is coming in the thinking pattern of the psychologist. They are now thinking that man is dominated by nerves, by emotions. All is, however, in a state of confusion. And as has been said by Will Durant, psychology has hardly begun to comprehend, much less to control human conduct and desires. It is mingled with mysticism and metaphysics, with psychoanalysis, behaviorism, glandular mythology and other diseases of adolescence. In the end, nobody understands anything.